Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. I have a guest across the way. It's the former Sherry Eubinger, now Sherry Harvey. How long have you been Sherry Harvey? Jeff married
30 years in December.
That can't be right.
Yes, right. So.
Wow. Sherry is the owner-operator of Eubinger Furniture up in Flora, Illinois. Halfway between Flora and Clay City. And like I've mentioned earlier, we're doing some business of the day, folks, featuring several of our good customers who have been with us for years and years and years on Business of the Day, and we appreciate you being here, Sherry. Thanks for coming down and taking the time.
I appreciate this station. I love you guys down here.
Well, we appreciate hearing that. We could sit here and thank each other all day long. We wouldn't get anything done. All right, tell me about Eubinger Furniture. It was a mom and pop organization, isn't it?
It is. My mom and dad started it. We actually sold. He had the Shell gas station first, and then he started selling camping trailers. And in the 70s, when they started threatening to ration gas, he got a little panicky about selling camping trailers because he didn't think anybody could pull one.
Yeah.
And decided we needed to go into something else. So he opened the furniture store. So they had it probably 25 years
ago. We talked about him starting the trailers. Yeah. That's why he got out of it. I thought he just got out of it because he saw the opportunity in furniture. I didn't realize he was worried about nobody could pull trailers.
Oh, he was terrified. We were selling huge campers at the time.
Big a camper was? I mean,
30 foot.
This is 30 years ago.
Yeah, 30 foot campers and stuff like that. And
folks needed a fifth wheel or something to pull the thing.
We had, business was really, really good at the time. But they started talking. That's when the Iran Contra thing was going on. And
they mid-'80s.
Yeah, and 70s. Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
Iran Contra.
Okay,
really.
Okay, it's not that then. But it was when they were going to ration gas.
Okay, okay.
They got so worried about.
Yeah, that would have been the OPEC.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
So they started worrying about all that, and Dad just said, we just can't have a business that gasoline affects. Now, of course, he didn't think very far ahead to the fact that everything gasoline affects.
Gasoline affects everything.
Everything, yeah, because you've still got to ship the furniture there.
Yeah,
to get it there. But it still was less scary at that time than camping.
Did he start in the place that you are now?
Yes, the camper sales was downtown next to the Shell gas station.
Oh, okay.
Which is now DiMaggio's. We were in the DiMaggio's building, was our first trailer sales.
Really?
And then we moved it out to the store, and then that's when out to where we're at now. And that's when they decided to go out of it. So that's why, if you notice our buildings, Dad kept adding on.
I was going to say, how big was the first main building when you...
50 by 100.
50 by 100, okay. And that's a pretty sizable pole barn.
And he had this barn in the back half of it. The doors opened up and we could pull the campers in and wash them and service them and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The front half was trailer sales was our store. You know, we had a camping store. So anyway, we did that for a while. And then when we closed it out back then, you didn't buy direct. I think we kind of got in this last time when Dad decided to start selling furniture, you really didn't go to the companies and buy, you went to a distributor and purchase stuff. So we had just the one building. We just opened the whole thing up. And Dad and I would make trips to Evansville on a Monday morning to fill up after the weekend. You know, you'd go pick out what you wanted to sell that week.
No, I didn't realize this. Yeah. Okay. Now, we talked a little bit about that, but I didn't realize the pragmatism or how it actually worked.
Yeah, yeah.
So you would sell your furniture all week long, and basically whatever you turned, that's how much money you had to rebuy.
Well, and just
similarly,
kind of like that. But I mean, there was no warehouses, we didn't have a warehouse at the time.
Yeah, you do now.
We do now.
Yeah.
But we didn't have a warehouse at the time. And at first, like I said, we kind of thought it was inexpensive to fill that store with furniture when you had been selling, had 20 campers on your lot.
Sure.
It was a little bit less expensive. But it was, like I said, it was a very interesting time because you did, like I said, literally, we'd take a trailer and something to haul the furniture home with. And pick up new merchandise as we needed it. But then it wasn't too long when they started coming around. Then the businesses decided,
the vendors, the manufacturers.
That to cut that middle guy out and just go directly to the businesses.
The So you were like 5 years old when you started selling furniture. Is what?
I was in junior high, probably. When we started furniture.
That is amazing to me, though. So you were at that point where people were you having to haul furniture as much to customers, or were they throwing it in the back of their pickups and taking it to their own places? How did that change over the years? More so
that they were picking up.
That's kind of what I thought.
But we did a lot of delivery back then with a pickup truck because Dad still had pickups from when we had the trailer sales.
Still had pickups from hauling campers.
Yeah. And so then we went to a right now I have three. I have the box van and the medium van and the little van. And Dad kind of went to the medium-sized van first, which was just like an extended van. And then went on to as you started getting in things like king size beds and stuff.
You need the bigger truck, right?
Yeah, and then he realized it wasn't long before he realized you can't do a lot of delivering in Clay County or Wayne County with a pickup truck because our weather doesn't cooperate very well.
Well, that you need tarps.
Yes.
You need a lot of tarps. Well, I can. Yeah, that's understandable. So Jim starts selling. Jim and Donna start selling furniture then back in the 1970s. Mm-hmm. And he stayed in it. She stayed in it for longer than he did, didn't she?
No. They were both in it together.
I
bought him out. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was under the understanding that she ran the place and basically Jim would come in once in a while. And
No. Dad was the mastermind. He was the one behind everything.
Is that right?
Yes. Mom was the advertising genius. Get me
that's
wrong.
That's how I got that.
She loved that part of it. But no, in the end, she really didn't want to work. She didn't work near as much as he did.
Is that right?
Yeah, she would go home early and stuff like that. She got kind of burnt out, I think.
How long ago did you buy that from them?
I'm in my 13th year.
Okay. So since I have you here, and we have lost Jim and Donna mm-hmm. over the past year, a little over the past year, mm-hmm. Condolences. We had just lost mm-hmm. Jim, I think, the mm-hmm. last time you were here, and Donna passed away after that. So our sympathies and condolences, of course, on both of those. But they were no longer really in the business at all, were they at all? When they sold, a lot of times you get somebody who founds a business and a successful business, right?
Yeah.
When you get somebody who has founded it and has built it over 25, 30 mm-hmm. years, and they sell it to a child mm-hmm. Or sell it to their kid or whoever, they like to kind of stay involved.
Yes.
Jim and Donna weren't like that, were they?
No. Now, Mom, the minute I bought it, she walked away, never wanted to be involved. Now, in the beginning, when I would have big sales, where I needed extra sales force.
Yeah.
Dad was willing to come in and sell, and I think Mom only worked one big sale that I had.
Is that right?
And she she got so nervous that because it was so big, there were so many people there, it really made her a nervous wreck, and she'd been
working in that kind of environment for 30 years, and it had always been that big, hadn't it?
Well, no, you know, like I said, our business
you've boomed it up a little bit more.
I did big sales. They had gotten to the point where they just kind of, you know, didn't push huge things. I would have doorbuster sales.
Well, they were at a different level of the business. The business.
Oh, well, they had it paid off. I didn't. That matters a lot. Sometimes.
That does matter. Wait, now, were they? I hate to ask. Were they good cheap labor?
Yes. Well, but it got funny because then also as the other thing I changed kind of immediately was kind of updating technology. Dad didn't like any of the because we do a lot of free financing. Like right now, we get up to 3 years free financing.
Yeah.
But the machines we use to do the financing stuff.
You have the calculators.
We have little, looks like a credit card machine that we do these financing things on. And I went to a fancier computer system and an alarm system and these things that Dad had never dealt with. And that just drove him nuts. So he really, he would sell. He would go and do all the, and he'd come back and go, here, these people want this. And it was, can you finish that?
Yes. These people want this and they need to pay this.
Yes.
That's how
it worked.
You please finish. Well, that's a great story. And how did he stick with you for would he work for another 5 or 10 years or how? When did he finally get out of it?
Oh, I'd say only probably 3 or 4. And then, like I said, he just thought that the Technology was changing too much, and it's hard. Even if you've been in that business for a long time.
Well, see, now you have been in that business for years.
Yes, yes. If you've been in the business for a long, long time, and you take 6 months off,
yeah,
it is still different because everything changes enough. The kind of stuff, the kind of deals people want, the kind of
financing.
Yes, all this stuff changes, and you don't realize how quickly. If once you've stepped out to try to step back into it and figure it out, it's true in any business. I mean, because if you're not growing and changing, then you're going backwards.
Yeah.
And so you have to just keep doing things different and trying, try better to please the customer.
Sure.
What are they wanting? What are they
needing? Well, that's, and your point being the customer's needs change before they even realize it,
exactly.
Don't they?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. I'm talking to Sherry Harvey of Eubinger's Furniture. We're going to talk quite a bit more about Eubinger's as well as her trips and how she goes about picking the right products, because that's one of the keys to Eubinger's is the you have great stuff up there.
Thank
great
you.
Tasteful stuff. We'll be back on the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM after these.
Yeah, it's good.
Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. It is 9:28. It is 88 degrees on the way up to 92. Sounds like it's going to get well past 92. It is March 14th. Today's business of the day is Eubinger's Furniture Company. Sign up to win a Yeti Tundra 35 cooler. That's a $300 value and 30-ounce Yeti Ramblers. Also, during the Summer Savings event at Eubinger's. Like them on Facebook. Visit EubingerFurniture.com and see new furniture arriving daily at Eubinger's Furniture Company, where the deals are worth the drive. That's Highway 50 East in Flora. And it just so happens that I have the lovely and talented Miss Sherry Harvey sitting in front of me. And she is the owner-operator of Eubinger's Furniture in Flora, Illinois. Okay. I gotta tell you. Gotta tell me. I've seen these things, these Yeti things, and they're the bee's knees right now, aren't they?
They are.
Do they really work?
They do. They do. Now I've not had the cooler, but I've got the glass.
Yeah.
And I know it. It does. It
That's
keeps
the
your
Rambler
stuff.
Is the glass.
Yes.
Right?
Okay. Yes. And it does keep your stuff cold. And like I was explaining on the break, the big deal to me is the sweating on the side of the cup. Because like you said, we live here.
So a ton of sweat on the side of the cup on these.
There's nothing on the side of the cup. But it stays cold.
So it's 95 degrees, 95% humidity outside. I got up this morning. I walked out the door. It was 70 degrees, and it was 94% humidity. It felt like I'd walked into a wall.
At
70 degrees. So you're telling me that you can have this thing sitting out there, and it's not going to even sweat?
Not at all. Not a single bit. And still, ice stays in your glass, and it stays nice and cold.
So what do I win? When is the giveaway? What do I need?
It's going to be at the end of the sale. The sale is going at least through Saturday. I haven't decided yet if I'm going to carry it through the next week, but I know it's going at least through this Saturday. So anyway, when I end the sale, then that Saturday I will have a drawing of these. I've got two of the cups, and I've got the big cooler as the grand prize. And then I do have one of the Huggies. Now, it's not the metal Huggies. This is just one of the kind of...
More of a marketing Huggie.
Yes.
See, I got a metal Huggie for Christmas. Uh-huh. I've never used it.
Yeah, people tell me they're wonderful now. I've not used those either.
I've got it, and I've never used it. To tell you the truth,
drink
them too fast.
That's what my husband said. I'll get you one of those. He goes, I just don't think I need it.
I don't use it. It doesn't get cold.
Yes.
Or it doesn't get warm.
Yeah,
I mean,
so.
my soda usually doesn't get warm.
I
drink my soda too fast.
That's right.
All right. So now that's the thing. This is a great prize.
Mm-hmm.
It's the value of these. It's like a $300 cooler. Huh?
It is. And also.
How about those Ramblers? What do they cost?
Like $20
or $30?
$39.
$40, wow.
Mm-hmm. And now the good people at Car Corral's, who I got these from, and the pretty cooler I picked out, because every marketing thing I do for Eubingers, I like blue, so everything is blue. So I've picked out this beautiful powder blue cooler.
Oh, not powder blue.
Powder blue.
Like a robin's egg close or something.
Yeah, it's beautiful. But of course, I know that the guys that win it may not necessarily want the powder blue, and
most of them have wives and girlfriends.
They said that if they bring it right back to Car Corral, they can exchange it for the other color, or even the soft side cooler is kind of cool.
Oh, really?
It's the same price, and that you can exchange it for that.
You might actually, if you talk to Carl Slobodzian, very friendly or something like that, he might let you go. They also have those coolers with like Illini.
Yes.
Stay on there.
They do.
He might trade in for that.
Might. I don't know.
Depends on the winner. She told me they could,
if they came right and didn't use it, they could do that. And I thought it was funny when we went to Florida the last time, men getting on the plane were using the soft side cooler as their carry-on.
Wait, hold on a second.
Because you couldn't use it as a bag to put your stuff in. But then when you get to Florida to the beach, you have a cooler with you.
That's genius. That is super genius. How about that?
I thought so, too.
I'm sitting there thinking, well, you can't use a cooler on the plane because you can't put drinks in there.
You use it for your clothes, but then when you get there, you've got a cooler.
That's super genius.
Why I like the soft side, but everybody said don't give away the soft side. Not everybody likes that. Give them the other one. So
do you have to have the soft side to get on the plane?
Think the soft side.
Okay.
I wouldn't think you'd get on with the other one.
That's pretty cool. And those are available. Folks will sign up at Eubingers.
At Eubingers, you can sign up.
No
purchase necessary.
Just come in there and take a look around.
Yep.
We haven't even talked about the store.
That's right.
I walk in the store. What am I going to see the first thing I see? This is a beautiful showroom. Mm-hmm. I know there's all kinds of stuff in there. I walk in, say I'm looking for a new California King style bed. Am I going to find one of those?
Now, I'm not going to stock a California King. I stock King.
You stock King.
People will tell you, I've got the biggest bed. I've got a California King. California King is not the biggest bed.
What's the biggest bed?
King.
King is bigger.
Yes.
See, I've got a King, and I think that's big bed.
Yes. So,
what's the difference between California King and a King?
A regular King is wider, but a little shorter.
Oh, I see.
California King is longer but narrower.
How did it get the name California King? Is it?
It's a waterbed thing. When they started doing waterbeds years and years ago, they made them a different size, and I don't know if it was just to keep you from being able to slap a regular mattress down into it. So they were made specifically for waterbeds.
Really?
Yeah, for the big, because you had the big.
So folks got used to that particular size, although.
Thinking that they were having the biggest bed. that you could get. And like I said, that's really
all right. I'm gonna walk in there wanting a king because I want the bigger bed, wider bed anyway. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize I was getting.
I have some super deals on really? Some king, on mattresses right now.
What is going on with the mattresses?
The hottest thing is by far the hybrid mattresses.
Hybrid mattresses.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. You know, back Tempur-Pedic came
part
out.
Part gas powered, part battery powered. Is that what they are?
And I love Tempur-Pedic. I sleep on a Tempur-Pedic. We like the memory foam. But if there was going to be a complaint, it was that those, because it was foam, as you slept through the night, you really sunk down and settled into the bed.
Right.
Hard to roll over in, hard to get out of.
You get stuck.
Yes, yes. You felt like you were kind of just sucked down in that bed. So they came out with the idea of having a hybrid. So they made a new kind of a coil system, and they put some of the coils in and then give you the memory foam on top. The cool gel memory foam.
Right.
So you get that soft, wonderful, luxurious feel in the cooling foam on top. But you have enough spring back so you don't.
How does that cooling foam work?
It was originally created for burn patients.
Really?
Yes.
How do you mean?
Well, it does look like a gel. I
mean, it looks like, well.
You know, but they mix it in the liquid form of the memory foam.
Okay.
They mix these gel, like beads almost, into it. And it doesn't cool it. It keeps your body temperature regulated.
It doesn't make it cold. It doesn't absorb heat, though, apparently.
Right. Because women, when you first say, you know, cooling gel, they panic and go, oh my gosh, but I'm cold natured. I don't want to be cold. No, it's not that. The reason you sleep comfortably is if your body temperature stays regulated, an even temperature that makes you sleep better. So that's what the cooling gels are meant to do, is to regulate your body temperature.
So
if you're a hot person,
you
can't, you know, people kind of got misled when they would think, oh, well, then if I go buy cooling gel, it's going to make me cold. If you're a hot-natured person and you're in a hot room, you're going to be warm still.
Yeah.
But you're not going to fluctuate or get worse. It will keep it, you know, if you start out in a real cool room, the bed will feel real cool.
This technology your manufacturers are just coming out with new technology all the time, and a lot of times folks think it's a marketing ploy. New. This guy, is it?
It's not. No, they're always looking for what somebody needs, and like I said, the adjustable bases are a big deal. People like those too, and those have way came down in price because almost everybody can benefit from sleeping a little bit of elevation.
Yeah.
Whether it just be if you have seasonal allergies and you don't breathe well when you sleep, that makes you not rest
well.
So you want to
raise the head side just a little bit.
People with leg problems want to raise their legs a little bit. You know, this is all things that you can do with your bed these days. Now, and people say, can I just take a power base and put underneath my mattress? Well, probably not if it's fairly old, because there again, you have to have so much of this foam in it that will bend.
Yeah.
The old coils would not bend.
Well, your mattress is going to be old. It's going to be heavier anyway now. Anyway, if it's an older mattress, it's picking up weight every night.
Yes. Yes, that's true.
How much difference does it come for somebody who's used their mattress?
I can't tell you pound wise, but I know the boys know it. They talk about how, man, you pick up some of those beds.
The delivery guys.
Oh yeah.
I bet you that they have picked up some mattresses that are. I can think of one in particular they haven't picked up yet, but I suspect I suspect it'll be coming soon. I don't know, but. It just seems to me what brands do you carry now in the mattress?
I carry Sealy and Tempur-Pedic and Spring Air.
Okay. Spring Air is the Springfield one, right?
It comes out of Springfield. They're a national brand.
I see, yeah.
But the factory I get them out of is a local guy's factory in Springfield.
I see.
So, yes.
Does that make you feel better to sell Illinois stuff?
I try hard. Not just Illinois stuff, just American stuff. You know, trying to find things made in America anymore is difficult. And, you know, we had to kind of figure out when nobody had jobs that part of it was if you want to pay people 12 cents an hour to make things for us, that's not going to happen in the United States.
Yeah.
And that means we won't have those jobs, and then those people can't buy things. So,
right.
I research places and try to buy.
Sealy, Spring Air, and which?
And Tempur-Pedic.
And Tempur-Pedic.
And Stearns and Foster. And that's the one that you're talking. Yeah, they're a division of Sealy.
Okay. So. I was. That's why I was leading you to. I didn't know if you had still had the Stearns and Foster.
Yes, I do.
I knew you'd had them in the past, and then you left them.
I like Stearns and Foster. Yes.
That's a good mattress.
Yeah, they're the oldest manufactured mattress in the United States. Even though, like I said, they've been bought by Sealy now, but the original company, and they are still basically handmade. There is a tag, and ink, somebody has signed off on that bed, and you have to work there long enough to earn the right to sign off that the bed is
so
in
that's,
good shape.
So basically, and that way they can go back and say,
yes,
Bob did this on April 4th. He was drinking that day, or so it was February 2nd, right after the Super Bowl.
They tell me they are demoted if it
is
comes back for a warranty issue.
How about that?
Yeah.
My goodness. Now that's the accountability that is needed, and that's what people are paying for, probably.
Exactly.
Because if you're buying some kind of shoddy piece of furniture that may be made in
somebody knew that their job was on the line when they signed that. So
I'll be doggone. I've got Sherry Harvey here. She's the owner-operator of Eubinger's Furniture. I've got to ask one thing before I get off mattresses. We're going to talk about markets later when we return. I got to ask one thing. Okay, this cooling foam gel thing. Hypothetical guy.
Oh, no.
You've got Joe Hypothetical Guy who has Great Danes who sometimes climb on the mattress and climb on the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And Great Danes will occasionally dig.
Mm-hmm.
Does the foam hold up as well as the old mattresses used to hold up? Or better or worse? Or have they improved the covers at all?
What I would recommend, and I recommend this basically
this to hypothetical
with
guy.
Every mattress, you need a good mattress pad because a stain voids the warranty.
Oh, really?
But because these mattress pads, they have them now where they're moisture wicking too and that kind of stuff. But they also are kind of like a strong barrier that if a dog tried to dig, it would help prevent that.
I guess you probably run into all kinds of people over the years who have the digging dogs, not just Great Danes.
Oh, not just, you know, I mean,
20-pound Jack Russells or something.
A lot
like
of people buy furniture with their pets in mind. You know, I've had a lady one time buy a chair, and she had to have a certain amount of height underneath the chair because the dog insisted in sitting under the chair. You know, so we measured chairs, and that was what was the determining factor, was the height of the chair underneath the chair.
Were you able to find one?
Yes, we did. So, like I said, pets are like family.
Pets are part of the family?
Yeah,
I'll be doggone. That's incredible. I'm talking with Sherry Harvey on WFIW. This is the Bruce Dickey Show, AM 1390, 104.9 FM. We'll be back in just a moment.
The sweet, pretty things I'm betting now, of course. The city fathers, they're trying to endorse. The reincarnation of Paul Revere's horse. But the town has no need to be nervous. The ghost of Belle Star, she hands down her wits to Jezebel and Nun, she violently knits. A bald wig for Jack the Ripper, who sits at the head of the Chamber of Commerce. Mama's in a factory, she ain't got no shoes. Daddy's in the alley, he's looking for food. I'm in the kitchen with a tombstone blues.
Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM Fairfield, Illinois. I'm talking with Sherry Eubinger today, Sherry Harvey today, formerly Sherry Eubinger. She's only been Sherry Harvey for 30 years. Talking with Sherry today about Eubinger Furniture. They are today's business of the day here on WFIW. And they've got sales going on. Okay. One of the points that I mentioned earlier, and I think this is true, this is one of the reasons Eubinger's has been as successful as it's been over the years. You always bring in and sell to folks a high quality as well as a good style of furniture, don't you? How do you go about keeping the style up? Because, I mean, folks can go into one furniture store and just see, you know, there's nothing here that floats my boat.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you go to somebody, another one, who somebody looks like they know what they're doing, There are all kinds of things to choose from.
It's difficult, and it is. I do spend a lot of time at markets. Now, like we talked about with the year I had last year, I missed some, so I kind of was behind playing catch-up. Because the thing is, when you go to a market, you are helping the market decide what is going to be popular.
How do you mean?
Well, because you do go. I go to these shows. And like I said, I'm getting ready to go to the Vegas market in July. And they are prototypes, what they put on the floor. And they design these, what their designers think are going to be big, the colors. I think it's always interesting because there's only so many fabric manufacturers.
Yeah.
So if one comes out with something new, everybody has bought it. And you'll go into every showroom and go, oh, wow, I just saw that in the last showroom and then the last showroom. But anyway, they've designed what they think is going to be popular. Well, then, and one of the main reasons I really want to go to markets is because I think our area is overlooked. They tend, more people on the coast buy different kind of looking stuff than we do.
Yeah.
And if not enough people represent the Midwest,
the Midwest
shows,
is more of a stalwart type of thing, right?
And those things will never get made because there's not enough people saying, I want those. And so we're helping them figure out what their stuff's going to be and figure out what our customers want. So we try to go for what we've been people have requested. The big thing I've noticed recently is people are asking for plaids and stuff like that again.
Really?
And that came out of the blue. I just not heard from that. But so many people were asking me. And sure enough, at the last market in January, the new fabrics were, a bunch of them were plaids. So we just got in some new updated plaid looking stuff.
We used to have, I had a chair growing up 40 years ago. Had a chair that we had it for years. Houndstooth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is that coming back or anything like that?
No, but something that kind of, you know, the houndstooth, I could see that in a pillow fabric now. Because the men's suit fabrics are kind of a big deal. They look like that tweed, heavier kind of fabric than the, you know, microfibers are kind of on the way out, except the performance fabrics that look like leather, a lot of stores call them microfibers. They're technically not.
Really?
They're a performance fabric, which just means they clean wonderfully, but they don't have that nap that a microfiber has.
So what has microfiber being replaced?
With this performance fabrics.
Performance fabric.
Yeah. And it's polyester. So they
just basically, though, a technological advance in polyester, in that it looks good and holds up well and is cleanable.
And doesn't have, like,
as opposed to the old polyester 25 years ago that made noise when you're on it and all kinds of stuff.
Well, and that nappy stuff, you know, that it would, with your body oils, the nap would kind of lay down, and then you always look like you had this funny little spot. And microfiber was real bad about having chemical reactions with cleaners.
Oh, really?
You know, people would run and you'd spill something on it, and you'd go get Resolve or something like that and try to clean it. Well, it would change colors to the whole thing. Well, the stain would come out, and you'd think you did a good job, but it would leave a residue that you couldn't see. And then every time you turned around, there was a stain on that spot.
Oh, I see.
It was because the residue was picking out what was
in the air.
And so you could never seem to clean that spot again. And so cold water, the big thing people need to know is to stop putting cleaners on them. Use cold water. You'll be so shocked at how much cold water will take out.
Is that right?
Yes. And only
just like when you're sitting at the Mexican place and you spill salsa on your shirt, you're supposed to dip your napkin in your water and wipe it down.
Yeah.
Same thing for your
because those fabrics are man-made now too. You know, they're just better than they used to be. We use cold water on stuff instead of a cleaner, and it'll make your fabric last long.
We changed. We left. I want to get you back to the market because I was interested. Yeah. You talked about how you help the market, and the market helps. How you help set up? How exactly do you mean when you go to one of these? Is it like at a convention center in Las Vegas, which is huge?
There is a market center just for furniture in Las Vegas.
A market center just for furniture. Yes. Okay, so you'll go in there, and you said there are prototypes in there from different manufacturers, and you'll go, they'll let you sit on them, and then you say, you know, this is, my head's too small for this.
You have to check in because you do. They know, the rep from your area knows whether you're actually a dealer of them or not.
Yeah.
So,
Dealers
only. You have to, if you are wanting to take on a line, you can get invited to.
Right.
But you're also going to get a little different tour probably than one.
Sure.
Because, like, the big benefit I get, besides helping my people get kind of their opinion in the mix, is then for helping me do that, a lot of the companies will give me lockdowns or buy downs.
Right.
So I will get
preferred prices.
Yes. I will get, you know, $50 to $100 off a sofa.
Yeah.
And it'll lock in for a year.
Yeah.
So if it is something that everybody loves, all the other places who didn't go to the market can buy that.
Yeah.
But they won't be buying it at what I do. And then I pass that savings on.
You're able
on.
To get the better deal to the customer.
Yes. Yes. So it helps me help them.
Yeah.
But also, like I said, I just think it's a big part because I think
well,
we're so
be.
Overlooked. And it's interesting to go through these showrooms. And like I said, when I buy at market, I buy more than I expect to get because I know that a certain percentage will not ever be manufactured.
What kind of percentage? I mean, this to me, it's having been in the building materials industry.
Yeah.
If I went to a market and I bought something, it's coming.
Uh-huh.
It,
yes.
I mean, it's if you buy it, it's mm-hmm. you're going to get it in the next day, and they're going to want paid for it.
Yes.
Whereas in this setup, if you actually buy something or you're ordering it,
yeah,
it may or may not. What kind of percentage doesn't come?
Well, probably it depends on what time you're in. The market is that organized because you badge in and they know how many people have bought this. They're entering those orders just continuously.
Wow.
So I think it's funny. Now, the market actually opens on Sunday, but yeah. I see some of my people on Saturday.
Sure.
So when I go through those are a blind draw as to what's going to make it. And probably 20%.
Yeah.
Won't, because the styles that I'm picking for Southern yeah. Illinois are not the styles
right.
that the Coast want. But then
Coast usually wants a little bit more wilder.
Yes,
I guess.
They do. Yeah. And a lot sleeker looks, dark woods and
yeah.
stuff like that.
Yeah.
But then by Sunday, if I get halfway through the day on Sunday, as I walk into the showrooms, the dealers will start saying, this piece isn't going to make it. We already know the percentage is so low on buying it. So we skip some of the ones
sure.
because we already know that they're not making it.
That is that is efficiency times mm-hmm. 10, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
That is just wonderful.
It's wild.
Mm-hmm. And plus, you're in Las Vegas.
Yes. Well, that's what, you know, I used to go to High Point, North Carolina. I hated that place. The hotels were terrible. And you just couldn't get it.
I think we talked about this
yes,
last time.
It didn't
couldn't get shuttles or
yes,
something to the place, right?
It didn't house the furniture market very well. It just was a big pain, where you can fly to Vegas easily, you can always get a good hotel room. They have shuttles that take you right to this furniture market.
Right.
The furniture market is three buildings. It was eventually supposed to be five, but it's still right now at three.
Yeah.
But there are like 16 floors in every one of these buildings, and
oh
so you're in one place and you go up and down and up and down and into any of these that you want to see, and you get it all done in one area and get on the bus and it takes.
Have
you, back
you ever seen everything there?
No, you could. It would take. You know, it takes me 2 days usually to do the market.
Yeah.
And at that, I'm rushing. I make appointments and try to stick to these appointments.
What do you focus on? What do you focus on more? You focus on sofas, love seats, chairs, bedding, what?
Bedding, I go see the new introductions. They're not as critical. There's usually no big announcements that
yeah.
come then.
Yeah.
The furniture is what I focus on.
Is that right?
The style,
yeah.
what is coming up. Because, like I said, literally it's for the next 6 months. So what I'm also buying is not necessarily going to even be built or come in for 6 months sometimes.
Well, you're going next month, so it's kind of a bad time to ask you, but I've only got a couple minutes left in the show. What is the next big thing in furniture? What is the next big thing? What are we going to find?
Well, you know, the big thing, everything is going power. I think it's so interesting in the reclining stuff now. Everything is power recline.
Yeah.
You have power headrests now so that
yeah.
when you lay back, your head can be popped up too so you don't have to, your bifocals you can see.
So you'll be plugging in your...
Everything. You can charge your phone off of your sofa now. I have.
Wait a minute.
I do. I have cooled drink holders. You have heat and massage. You know, all of this is coming in your normal furniture now. Your hide beds, sofas that have sleepers in them, those are now memory foam or an airbed.
You're kidding.
No.
Airbed? Will it all? It has.
Wait. Push a button and
it blows up.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, like I said,
it has a compressor inside of it, basically.
It's technology. So is what's. What the new thing is going to be.
That is
and
amazing.
It will be interesting to see what the newest.
And all this technology coming on, it's your job to figure out what styles will look good.
Well, and because some
and
of
their
them,
job.
And because some of them, especially the newest technology, will be kind of expensive.
Yeah.
And so you have to determine the value of that technology.
Right.
Is it something that people want.
Yeah, this
to
movable
pay that much for.
This movable headrest is going to be another $150 on this particular recliner or something like that. Is somebody going to pay that?
Right.
Some they might in San Francisco. They may not in Flora, Illinois.
Yes, so that's what you have to take
into
consideration.
You're having a ball doing this, aren't you?
I love that part. That's one of my favorite things is going there and trying to figure that stuff out and pick, you know. So.
Well, that's just wonderful.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, this has been a joy. I really
enjoy
it.
Thank you, Bruce. I always enjoy it, yes.
Sherry, this Sherry Harvey. She is the owner of Eubinger Furniture, today's business of the day up in Flora. Come back anytime.
I will. Like I said, after you talked me into finally doing it.
Dodie had to twist your arm.
She did.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Well, thank you very much for coming on. That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today, folks. We'll talk to you all tomorrow. Have a great day.